I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show. Word!
All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton. And I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype. From the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra. I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now. Available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Go. Okay, so, you know, I bought an old truck. It was at my neighbor's. And it was his grandpa's truck. It's an old 1989 Ford F-250.
Fun. Does it run?
Yeah, it runs. Big old long box. Just a big, and I needed a truck to move stuff because, you know, we're getting,
more gay.
I know. It's just the best lesbian truck ever.
Yeah, I like it though. What color?
It's red and white, classic, with the little windows.
Even more fun.
Yeah, it's a huge pig of a truck. And I don't drive it around except to go to the dump. And to do stuff because I'm not going to ruin the environment with my truck.
Does it have that? Rah, 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 rah,
it's
rah,
got
rah,
a big. It's fun. A big old truck. So anyway,
okay.
I just reinsured it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go give it some oil. I started up right away. Classic old Ford, eh?
Boomski.
So anyway, I go up to the oil place, the oil change place, and I chugged in there and blah,
beep
blah, blah,
beep
blah, blah,
beep.
Blah, blah,
yeah.
Blah.
Toot, toot.
And so they were kind of looking at me, and I just went, oh, whatever. You know what? Yes, I'm a
lesbian
driving a big old truck anyway.
Yeah,
but who should pull in at the same time as me, because there were two bays. No, not the postie, but there's two bays, but a very very pretty younger woman looking very pretty and in a nice little car pulls in. Well, they of course they looked at me, and then and of course their attention of course went to the girl, right? The young woman. I shouldn't say girl, the young woman. And I thought, okay, that's cool. You know, that's cool. I've got time, you know. But and then they, you know, would you like some water?
Oh my God.
You know, and would you like a thing? And I was just waiting in my big ass truck. And I just thought, okay, you know, and I know this, I am not trying to compare anything.
I get it.
I am a white woman of privilege. right?
No, I have not, that's not the point.
No, but
no,
what I'm
it
saying,
isn't the point.
No, but what I'm saying is, I have
that pissed
maybe
me off.
On my hand, I can count. I haven't had to deal with a lot of homophobia. You know what I mean? Because
I live in.
No, but let me finish. Okay. Let me finish. All because right. I live in Vancouver, which is very
white ski.
Well, no, it's just very. It's easier to be gay in Vancouver.
Whoa,
I will
whoa.
Say it's
oh,
not
whoa.
Hard to be gay in Vancouver, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't had to deal with racism. A lot of homophobia.
Okay.
I've dealt with some misogyny, definitely.
Oh my God, the misogyny.
But what I just thought, here I'm getting a, I'm here I am half an hour at an oil change place, being not really treated as nicely as the person next to me. And I thought, some people, for whatever circumstances they live or whatever circumstances they have, whatever they are, deal with it all the time.
Yeah, I know.
And it really, honestly, it just, for that moment, I just went, man, I can you imagine this day in, day out to be just, yeah, we'll be right with you.
Marginalized.
Or, yeah, no, yeah. You're right. We don't like the look of you, quite the look of you. I don't know why. And again, this is on such a minor scale, but to have that feeling day in, day out, I understand the anger.
Oh, for sure.
I at least can empathize with the anger. It just really hit home for me. I know that's such a, I don't know. It just literally happened like the other day, and it just was like, wow.
Oh, God,
here I am, just you know, what's not that they were super rude. They just were a bit more dismissive.
No, I get it,
because that the person next to me, for whatever reason,
yeah,
drew their attention more.
You know, it's maybe this is, but here's my spin on it, because I'd be pissed. I wouldn't. I think I would have tolerated it for like 30 seconds. I would have been like, hey.
Yeah, I'm thirsty here. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they changed the oil and whatever, but there was just something. There was something different.
Well, I would have said something. I would have asked to talk to a manager.
I don't know.
I would have asked to talk to a manager.
But it wasn't even so much that I was mad about it. I felt something. I felt something that some people feel.
Yeah, I get it. And that's, and to be truthful, that's why I would have asked to talk. I personally would have said, like, you know, dude, I mean, that's not cool.
It was just weird. It was just,
I don't blame
just,
you. And you're right.
Weird.
People feel that all the time. And you don't know
whether
you've been there.
Yeah. Whether it's a, you know, if they're a transgender person trying to get a job and everybody's staring and looking and questioning or, you know, or whatever color you may be, whatever race you may be, that you're not treated the same. It just, I know this sounds so naive, and I know it exists. I've known my whole life
it exists.
Of course
it does. And people were predisposed. There was a book. Oh my God, that my therapist just told me about. And it's like, oh God, it talks about how all this stuff is kind of hardwired into us and we don't even realize how we express our various prejudices.
Yes, I would love to know the name of that book because I'm just trying to understand how that hardwiring.
Yeah, it's like unwinding something. I'll find it. I'll figure out what it is.
But you're right, we are hardwired and
yeah, but that's what it's about. I got to ask him. Okay. I'm trying to remember, but it's all about how we have these ideas and stereotypes and prejudices hardwired, and we literally do not even see how we behave differently in many cases. And we do. We might smile at one person, but not another.
Yeah.
We might put change in one person's hand, but not another. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting. I try to be hyper aware of it. But I think in order to be hyper aware of it, you have to accept that you have prejudices.
This is true. You're absolutely right.
And we all do.
Yeah.
But like people who are like, I'm not prejudiced. I just hate everyone. I'm like, then you're in denial because believe me, you know, we all have them. We do. And I like really, really try to kind of look at it, work on it, try to figure out what it's about. Like, what's my issue with this? What's my issue with that? What's my issue with, you know, and it's like I try to work on it, man, all the time. Yeah. And then if I do have an issue, I try to look at it. Like I have a friend who's Chinese and she's always asking me, like, have you ever been to China? And it's like the one place I have not gone and do not have on the list. And not the one place, but, you know, major, right? Like, I've been all over Asia, been all over Southeast Asia, I've been all over South America, I've been all over, you know, not all over Africa, but India, Africa. And I'm like, no, dude, no. And she's like, why? You'd love it. And I was like, I just think, like, I'm afraid of, and I didn't even realize that this was prejudice, right? So I was like, I just don't want to deal with the things I see. And she goes, what do you think you're going to see? And I was like, you know, animal abuse and, you know, female abuse. And she's like, Jill, there's like a billion people in China. You think everyone abuses animals and this, that? You think it's more so than it is here?
Interesting.
And I didn't even realize. And she's like, you can hate animal abuse and you can hate inequality towards women. But why have you said I'm not going to China because of it? And yeah. I was like, well, because it's rampant. And she's like, are you kidding me? And I've just, and I really thought, I'm like, they put little turtles in keychains. And there was a story about two girls in Calabasas who tortured a turtle at the Calabasas Commons. And she's like, so what? This happens here all, not so what, but like, it's everywhere. Why are you assigning this to a country?
To a country, to a people. I know. No,
I didn't even realize I was, you know, I didn't even realize I had that prejudice, which obviously I did. And I'm like, wow, okay. Ooh, that's ugly. Nobody wants to see that part of themselves.
No.
I wasn't proud at that moment. I was ashamed of myself. I was like, oh God, Jill. Wow. So, you know.
No, it's true. It's true. And when it catches you off guard, it's like, but I guess that's why I'm so interested in understanding it more. But, you know, I don't know. It was a moment, and it just, I don't know.
Those are really epiphany
moments. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I think the thing is, like, we first have to accept that it's okay to be human and have flaws. The key is to, like, look at yourself, you know, and go, all right, I did this and I'm not super proud of it. Why am I doing it? How do I turn it around?
Yeah. And
you know?
And you could say, where does it come from? But sometimes, as you say, sometimes it's really old. It's just really old thought.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard horror stories, I think, and it's like you see stuff on websites about, like, oh, you know, in China, a ring of, like, dog thieves busted selling pets as dog meat. Well, like, horrible things happen here all the time.
But you still only see the good things or the bad things. Like, either it's either super excellent or super bad, but never anything in between.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get, like, the daily medium.
And here, I feel like we really hide these things. They're all swept under the rug, you know? Whereas, like, culturally there, it's like, oh, baby girl dumped in a gym bag and, you know, taken to an orphanage. And you're like, ugh, horrible things happen to children here. Horrible things.
Right, but under their government at that point was giving the baby the best chance to live, because otherwise they'd have to kill it.
Well, then you're like, why, you know. Yeah, you're right. They hid the baby. Yeah, because you're not allowed to. But then use birth. Forget it. I'm like, then use birth control. I forget it. But it's not about against people. It's not against a type of person. It's not about being Chinese or American or anything else. It's about disliking a behavior in
humans.
That's
right.
And that's where it's like, you got to really look at it. You know, I mean, damn it. And it's not easy. But I love that you brought that up. And I think, you know, the takeaway is we should all really look at, like, maybe these prejudices that we have, we don't even realize we have, tried to be hyper aware of it.
Yeah. And hopefully someone can call you on it, because sometimes we don't know.
Call yourself. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, well, my friends, yeah. No. All right. Well, and there's
that.
All right,
now. And then.
Let's talk about abs.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolin is science. Science based on Nobel Prize winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's 5-day program. Snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours. And it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian. What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right.
Well,
are we on?
Yeah, we are.
Oh my God, Nicole! What?
I have to eat a lunch and public service.
Nicole is demanding that we record something. I don't. Jeez.
Everyone all needs hungry, but... to hear this, especially any of you listening to this podcast while you are driving.
Did you get in another
there,
car accident?
I did not, but I want to let everyone know that there is a magic invention inside each and every one of our cars. If you look at your steering wheel. Just directly to the left of it, there's a stick. But the best thing about this
turn signal
that you push it up and it lets people know that you're going to go to the right. Yeah. You push it down, it lets people know you're going to go to the left. Yeah. This helps everybody so you don't get in a car accident. I didn't, but people need to learn about this awesome stick. That is all.
Wow. All right.
Is there a story?
Nope. Nope. I feel like there's not a lot of people who know about it.
Are lunches really intact?
Lunches are intact. Okay. One of them may have gotten a little shaken as I slammed on the brakes. That might be the salad, so it might be okay. But just saying, stop it.
Wow. Gotcha. That's going to really penetrate that kind of talk.
Yeah, it's transcendent.
I'm going to add to that. If you're old, don't drive.
Oh, that is ageist. Don't say that.
No, we took the car away from grandma. Now I drive for a living. Every accident I almost get into is an old person cutting me off, is an old person going too slow, sideswiping me almost.
Really old.
Are they using the magic stick?
I'm saying 80 up. 80 up.
I got to say, we've talked about this. We had some issues with Heidi's.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
I'm not saying old like.
But like Jane Fonda, I'm sure, can drive. That bitch is sharp as a tack.
I'm just
cut you.
Saying that I think that there's an element that is very true, but I think we have to be very careful in how we say that.
Yeah, but
that's
it's not unilateral, ageist. Right? So exactly, like you got to know if they are experiencing like vision problems or early
coherency.
Onset Alzheimer's or but there are a lot of 80-year-olds that are sharp as hell. So it's really just, and there are 60-year-olds that are not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
and there's 30-year-olds that are not. It's just, you have to remember that you take that car away, that is your independence gone for the rest of your days.
Not anymore.
That's huge.
No. I've had this conversation back and forth with my grandma.
In a sense, I mean, if you can't drive yourself down to the Dairy Queen for a cone, or you can't go and get your own thing. You always have to arrange rides. Hey, son, can you come?
No,
hey,
Lyft, Uber, go grandparent.
Yeah, but you know what?
If they're in a minute.
Hold on, Jake. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, you don't need a smartphone for it. My grandma uses it because I
go grandparent.
Yeah, we bought her an iPhone. I tried
Cute.
To teach her Lyft. Yeah.
But, Jake, I understand what you're saying.
There's operators that help her.
Yeah, no,
cute.
I totally get that. And I understand what you're saying. But this goes out to like several in the middle America that don't have Lyft. Like in my hometown, we don't have it.
No.
And we need to take my.
Well, then get Lyft, hometown.
Well, it's not populated enough. But it's like we're at the verge of taking my grandpa's away, and that it just like cuts off his freedom for sure.
Yeah, well, luckily, there's not much for him to hit out there.
You'd be surprised. He finds it. Anything that he can hit, he will.
Oh, my God.
This conversation's making me angry, so I think we should turn it off. Because
again, moral of the story, I don't care how old you are. Just use the stick to the left of your steering wheel.
Thank you, Nicole.
I care how old you are.
Okay.
Manis. Are you ready for a snappy?
Always.
Are you going to be bored by my snappy like you have been lately?
No. The only one was...
No, wasn't the only one.
Mm-hmm.
By squats. You were bored by
I wasn't
yoga.
Bored by... I was yes, bored by yoga. I will admit.
No.
Which is why I had to speed it up.
Like when you put it together, you had to make everyone talk faster?
I had to speed it up. I was a little... Okay, I will admit. Mm. All your other ones, I'm not. But that one...
Well...
That one really took me down a road. What about that Bikram asshole?
What?
I always said not to do Bikram yoga anyway. Shouldn't be working out like crazy temperatures. He's like a womanizer. Came out. Everyone had been like hiding it for years. This is supposed to be a snappy.
Oh, okay.
It's about delayed onset muscle soreness or DOMS. I keep seeing questions.
I didn't
about
even
it.
Know there was an acronym for it.
Oh, you didn't? It's called DOMS, yeah.
Really?
Are you serious?
No, I didn't realize that it was.
Yeah. Yeah. What, Nicole?
DOM also means, you know, like a dominant person in the bedroom.
Okay, yeah. Wow. That's not what I'm. Which is you because your boyfriend's gay. That's also not what I am talking about right now. I'm talking about DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. So, a lot of people ask me, like, what is it? How do I get rid of it? What should I do? Well, first of all, we don't actually know what it is. We have theories about what it is. Well, I can tell you what it isn't. I can tell you how to manage it. So, for example, delayed onset muscle soreness, you work out, right? Yeah. And then as soon as, it depends on the person's metabolism and their workout and many different factors, but it could be as soon as 8 hours. It could be, you know, as soon as the next morning, long enough into the next morning. And it usually peaks on the second day around 48 hours. And I find by the third day, I'm usually all good, right? It's always worse for me on the second day. And for most people, it's usually worse on the second day. So they used to think it was lactic acid, which we now know is absolutely not true. You flush out lactic acid within an hour or so of your workout. It's not lactic acid. What a lot of people believe is it's micro damage. And that's what
you've talked about.
Yeah, I believe it, obviously, too. But I've heard other things about, like, mineral deposits and this, that, the other. But, like, this is what's generally accepted at the moment, is that it's, like, little teeny micro tears in the connective tissue, your muscles, right? And then, of course, you get a slightly bigger tear and you've got a strain.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're injured, you know, for quite a while. Is it good? Is it bad? Well, depends on how you handle it, right? This is why recovery and muscle splits are so important. Because think about this for a second. If you've got some micro damage to a muscle and then you go out and train it again, some bodybuilders are like, oh, no, that's how I get massive. My thing on that is no. I've read other studies that say at least 48 hours off of that muscle group, which is why splits and recovery days are so important. So, like, let's say you trained chest, shoulders, triceps, quads on Monday, and you have delayed onset muscle soreness, you really don't want to train those muscle groups on Tuesday, Wednesday. You want them to heal and then go back in again on Thursday. Because if you're sore, A, the intensity, I know, bonsai, the intensity of your workout's compromised, and B, you could actually get more injured, right?
Or is DOMS, is it chronic? Can it become chronic? Can you constantly? Okay.
No. Okay. Well, I mean, if you work out really hard, we could make you sore tomorrow, right? If you're pushing the envelope. Oh, bonsai has a thing for Jake. Mm-hmm. So, sure. But I mean, is it like a chronic fatigue or like a fibromyalgia?
Well, like, will you, let's say you did what you just listed off, chest, abs, quads.
Oh, the muscle, right.
Right. And let's say you had the DOMS,
you're sore.
And then you went and did another workout on Friday with the same things and you had the same thing happen again. Like, can this just...
It can happen again if you change the stimulus, if you change the workout, and you kind of want it to, right? I mean, if you adapt to something, that's not good. You're not changing as much.
Okay.
I also don't believe you've got to be sore to get results. I mean, but it generally means if you're sore for a couple of days, appropriately so, and not injured, which is a more macro tear, right? Okay. When we get into strains, and there are a level of strains, 1, 2, 3, you know, then yeah, you're going to be sore for longer, which is not good. That said, if you're like, well, it wasn't an effective workout unless I was sore, that's not necessarily true. And you'll find that I've noticed if you go a week without working out and then you hit the gym, you're sore, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, we don't fully understand it, but the idea is obviously there's some micro damage, and in that repair and recovery, we can enhance our strength, our speed, we get stronger, more efficient, right? Okay, that's what we know. Now, what do you do about it? Number one, temperature fluctuation. So ice baths, cold showers, ice packs help with inflammation and muscle soreness, right? Mm-hmm. Number two, hydration and electrolyte replacement will make a big difference. Drink a lot of water. Replenish your electrolytes. Coconut water is a good one. Number three, you can get a foam roller and you can roll out your muscles.
Oof, I know.
I'm actually going to talk about in another segment, but it improves circulation.
Yeah.
And a light cardio workout the next day also helps improve circulation, and that helps with the soreness. And the speed in which your DOMS dissipates. Okay. Here's what you don't want to do. I know. You do not want to take a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory
Advil.
Yeah. A, it's
really.
Oh no, no. It's really hard on the kidney and the liver. But not only that, studies show that it inhibits the adaptation response. That inflammation is your body healing the micro tears.
Oh, and if you're trying, oh.
And it's totally counterintuitive and really hard on kidney and liver. Google it.
That's
negative side effects of NSAIDs. NSAID. Mm-hmm. NSAIDs. Yeah, do not do that. I know. Maybe I should get you off the mic. Anyway, I thought I would. Do you feel educated?
I do.
Or no? Are you bored?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
Because I think people deal with soreness. We get a lot of emails to the podcast. Email about
right.
I'm sore.
And I'm back to my wheelhouse.
I was going to say something though. Just say DOMS again.
DOMS.
It sounds very, you sound very British when you say it like
I
that.
I do?
Oh, I was going to say you sound very S&M.
You're really into that today.
Yeah, you are.
What? You start with dominatrix
DOMS,
and now.
DOMS and subs.
You know what?
Submissives.
But why aren't you just saying submissives?
You say subs.
Excuse me.
What do you mean? What? Yeah. Why are you all so gassy?
We don't know. It was something
I didn't do it.
No, but Nicole, particularly...
What culture are you in that you're saying subs? I don't say
subs. Yeah, subs and doms. What's going on with you?
That's S&M.
Yeah, no, dude, but like
but you've never talked about S&M before.
Yeah, and not only that, you're like, you got your lingo and the whole thing.
I read 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh my God, is that where you're getting it from?
But that's where I learned it from.
Oh. Where are you practicing it?
Yeah.
I haven't practiced it yet.
Oh, yet. Oh, dear.
I've got some friends, though. They've got some pretty interesting lifestyles. I've heard a lot.
Huh. You mean with your doms and subs?
Yeah, and like,
that, like, I am not very interesting because, like, I don't have that. Like, do you ever watch
Pulp Fiction?
Billions? Oh, well, yeah.
No.
That show Billions.
I have not watched
Paul Giamatti's character is, like, super into being, like, a submissive. And he goes to, like, these kinky-ass places. And I just think to myself, like, what would that take for me to be into? Like, just zero interest. No.
It's because... So Kaylee was trained in L.A. by, like, one of the biggest dom people. So cops come in. My girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Cops come in. People of power come in because everywhere in life they have power everywhere in their life, okay. And then they come there to finally relinquish their power.
Interesting.
Well, I've also read with the way sex has been accepted and with a lot more millennials being open with what they are and being like fluid.
You guys are very fluid.
They're saying that polyamory is actually what the trend is leading towards.
What's that again?
Multiple partners.
It's an excuse to fuck baloney. Around. I have so many friends who are very polyamorous
and like they go
They just don't want to commit.
No, they're married.
No, that's not true.
No, like this particular couple is married and they each have girlfriends that are girlfriends with each other.
Wait a second. There's a chick
and a dude are married.
Chick and a K.
She has a girlfriend.
She's a K.
He has a K. Their girlfriends are dating each other.
Okay.
And they just meet up every once in a while and they're like, oh, yay, I've missed you. I mean, it's great for the dude. But I have to go grab your coffee.
But why wouldn't it be great for the girl, too?
Oh, it is great for the girls, too.
Okay.
I feel like such a prude. But no, don't feel like a prude.
How do you raise kids in that environment?
They don't have them.
Well, but
I just don't know how.
I don't buy the polyamory thing.
But the swinger thing was a baby boomer thing, right? Bonsai doesn't look.
It's not called swinger anymore, though. Now it's called polymorphosis.
No, see the swinger thing I could get. You're going out and you're doing something fun, and that's it. But you're leaving it there. But how could you have a relationship, a loving, romantic relationship for a really long time?
People do though.
With more than one person, like.
People do. It's just.
I'm not understanding the whole concept of a romantic relationship then, because
Nicole can't get back in. I don't either. You're right.
Like,
no, I'm with you.
Yeah, it's like if you truly love somebody,
how's that special?
Where are you going? Why are you going to someone else to find something else too? I get it if it's a sex thing and you both are doing
it. Bonds is pretty mad about it too. I think I know Bonds. Bonds is very upset about it. Do you hear how upset you made her?
She hasn't been
this vocal for months.
She doesn't want to polyamorous.
She's a one bird kind of girl.
Oh, dude. You think it's a joke? Oh, no. She hates Heidi. Hates her guts.
Oh, no.
Hates her. Yeah, and she hates my brother. Like, no, this bird knows, like, who's who. Has decided who she hates and who she doesn't. And when Heidi had Phoenix, she never forgave her. Never. Has hated her ever since.
Try to sell polyamory to...
Bonds are real.
I'm just saying that the things are changing, and the what we think of as why does it have to be guy girl or guy guy or girl girl?
That's what I mean, it just makes me feel boring.
People are open, but don't feel bored. It's just people are opening up their relationships.
I get that.
I wish I was interesting like this.
I just think
I had these dirty little weirdos.
You are. I think you are though.
No,
and I think you
trust me.
It.
I'm pretty straightforward.
No,
it's a real bummer.
No, I think you're actually a dirty bird. No, and I think you'd all like the three of us to slap you with a whisk broom.
She would be a dom.
I am a dom.
Not you, no. Janice.
Oh no, Janice is a bottom.
No, I'm a lazy top. I'm a lazy top. You know, I think you, Jillian, I think you would like, here, let's go get a broom and then.
Why a broom?
Maybe it was a whisk brush. What's and a... I'll just, you know, like
here, let me just stab up... you with these scissors.
No,
right,
not that's too mean. No, like with, you know, when you're cleaning out your tent, you need a whisk brush. You know, when you go camping.
Cleaning
my
tent. No, I don't.
And
camp.
You want to clean out all the pine needles out of your tent. You use a whisk brush.
I know.
Brush.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What you're
okay.
And I think you'd like us to do that.
I really want to find something that I'm into. It's creepy.
Well, why don't you start experimenting?
Oh, yeah, it's a broom. Okay. Well, like, yeah, I don't have, though, like, feet now.
Feet?
You've got feet.
No, but, like, they don't tune or people stepping on me and pee. I can't. It's just not.
Oh, you can have hard and soft limits.
Yeah, but I don't. It's not interesting to me, though. It's not my thing.
But that's okay. I don't, you know what?
I really wish it was.
You know, back in 2008 when I was having sex.
Yeah.
I
what were you into?
I did a few things.
Like what?
Well, you know, I just, you know, I did a few.
What?
Not like, well, I.
Like kids today are pegging and all of this.
Pegging?
Yeah, they, the girls.
Strap it on.
Okay,
go
wait
behind.
A minute. Oh, dear God.
Well, that's
really
old.
Gonna try to
that's not new. That's
on the boyfriend, guys? On their boyfriends.
Well, that's not
it's
that.
It's common, super common now.
Is it?
Yeah,
I've
it
never
is.
Done
I don't
it.
Know.
That's not
they
the
call
truth.
It Peggy?
Pegging.
What about docking?
What's that one?
It's where two guys, one has a foreskin and the other doesn't, so you kind of share.
I thought it was called space docking.
Share a foreskin?
Yeah.
See, that's I can't get behind it. Well, I don't have one to enjoy it, so.
Neither do I.
Wow.
That's the one I've done, guys.
Docking?
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Kristen Ulmer is a former professional extreme skier. She has been the best female in the world for 12 years. She's been retired for 15. But if there's one thing she knows how to deal with, and that is fear. And she's written a book called The Art of Fear, Why Conquering Fear Won't Work and What to Do Instead. Kristen, Jillian, Kristen.
Hey, how are you, Kristen?
Good. How are you? Nice to meet you.
You too, bud. Fear is the number one thing, in my opinion, that paralyzes people from accomplishing any goal. You know, obviously the majority of the population is not going to bomb down hills the way you do. You're the elite of the elite. But fear is something that stops people from having healthy relationships, is something that stops people from achieving wellness goals. And I'm just really excited to talk all about this stuff with you. So will you first tell us a little bit about yourself and why you wrote the book?
Can I say one thing before I talk about myself?
Yeah.
Are you open to looking at fear from a new set of eyes
before we
get started?
Yeah.
See, it's not fear that is holding us back. It's our unwillingness to feel fear that's holding us back.
Ooh.
We blame fear when really we should be blaming ourselves for how we deal with fear.
Okay. All right, I'm ready. Fair enough.
Fear is not the enemy that you think it is. And so let me tell you why. And now I'll tell you about my life and my story.
Okay.
You asked about my career, my ski career. I was the best woman big mountain extreme skier in the world for 12 years. I retired in 2003, and I was considered fearless. And I felt fearless, and I actually believed my own hype. But Turns out I was not fearless. I was just living a lie. Fear was motivating me, like fear of not being special, fear of not being loved.
Mm.
And actually, it's more accurate to say that I was addicted to fear. Like, I loved feeling fear.
You mean like that high, that adrenaline high, like before you jump, right? Before you go, that kind of thing, you mean?
Yeah. It's okay. Like, I thought I was in love with the skiing. Really, I was in love with the place it took me, which was to, I got to experience fear, you know, fear plus breathing equals excitement.
Okay.
But I was also buying into the belief that everybody has around fear that I just talked about briefly, is that it's something to be overcome or fought or conquered.
Yes.
And that's what I was doing. I was really, really good at it. And so I was both in love with it and I also hated it and repressed it to an extreme, which is kind of what you do when your life is all about one thing. My life was all about fear. And what happened is over time, I started suffering a lot of consequences from that war against fear.
Like what?
Well, I, it seems like you can get away with repressing fear to the level that I was repressing it for about 10 years top. Like, it works to try and conquer fear. I was able to ski the way I wanted to, but I was now fighting an unwinnable war with this huge primary part of who I am to an extreme because I was experiencing a lot of fear. Because extreme skiing is, you know, you're risking your life almost daily if you're right. A professional.
Right.
So things started happening. Like, I was having a lot of near-death experiences or watching a lot of accidents. So all of a sudden I had PTSD. And I had adrenal fatigue. Like, I had completely crashed adrenal system, and I was just exhausted. And then I was also really burnt out. Like, I started to hate my sport, which was bizarre.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, go ahead, Janice.
The consequences of me repressing fear. It started to be really obvious that there was something seriously wrong and I needed to look at something. I didn't know what. So.
You know what I find so interesting, Kristen, about the fear is that it's always labeled as a negative. I mean, fear is a great protector as well. So when does the positivity of fear come into the picture?
If you ignore or fight or repress fear, lock it in the basement is my language, then you're only aware of it coming out in a covert, wacky, crazy way from the basement.
Okay.
And you're only aware of it showing up as excessive anxiety or depression or, I don't know, just insomnia, keeping you awake at night, like looping in your mind like a crazy person. But if you own and honor fear, take it out of the basement and welcome it as a natural part of your life, then all of a sudden, all the virtues of fear show up only. You know, it shows up as clear vision, wisdom, kind of takes you into higher expanded states of focus and presence. In sports, if you're willing to feel your fear, you'll go right into the zone or flow. It just becomes your greatest asset and ally, and not a low vibration frequency like it comes out from the basement, but actually something that really deeply enhances your life and is a sign that you're on the right path towards expanding who you are.
Wow. Okay. So talk to me. You know, this is funny. I must admit that I did talk about, like, how to kind of manage your fear, but I didn't realize it was your unwillingness to experience fear. So you say, obviously, right, they shouldn't try to conquer it, but you also say they shouldn't think about it. So what do you mean by that? Like, Kristen supports fear. You cannot and should not try to conquer it. Okay. And I get now what you mean by that. Fight it. I get that. But like, when you say think about it, like, how does that mean it? How then do you, if you're not thinking about it, are you not acknowledging it?
Well, two things. First of all, cut yourself some slack. Like, everybody on the planet teaches how to conquer or overcome fear.
Okay.
It's absolutely the language that everybody uses when they speak of fear. And you're not alone. I'm like the only person on the planet that's approaching it from a new reality.
Right.
What happens is people think that fear is in their mind. We hear an acronyms, you know, like false evidence appearing.
Right.
Real,
oh, God.
Or,
yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
We think that fear is just in your mind. You know, if you can just get your mind under control and will the fear away, then it'll, you know. And what the thing is fear is just a sensation of discomfort that you feel in your body that's, yes, warning you of danger, saying, hey, watch out. But what happens is when we don't want to feel it, we don't want to deal with it, we lock it in the basement, and it's down there, of course, operating covertly. And
right.
What it does is it then hijacks your mind because it will not be denied. It's like Schwarzenegger, like, okay, you got rid of me, but I'll be back, right?
Right, okay. Yes, of course.
So how it comes back is that it'll then hijack the thinking mind because it won't be denied, and then it'll loop its agenda over and over and over again until we think that the fear's in our head, and it just kind of takes over your whole life. Maybe when you're asleep is a good opportunity for fear to hijack the mind and wake you up and, you know, fulfill its agenda.
Right.
And, you know, it'll show up as a loop in your mind, or it'll show up as fears or phobias, that kind of thing. Another way it'll show up is just a general low-grade anxiety or even high-grade anxiety. And so we think that fear's in our mind. It's not. If you repress fear, it's in your mind.
So, okay.
But if you have a conscious, loving relationship with fear, it's just the sensation of discomfort that's in your body.
All right, so can we do a little exercise where we give people a scenario, right, that your regular average person may experience? Like, let's say I want to start a business. I hate my job. I want to start a business, but I'm terrified that I'm going to go bankrupt. I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to, you know, all the worst case scenarios are going to occur. How would you tell that person to proceed? Like, what would be step 1, 2, 3 in dealing with that kind of panic?
First of all, get to know your patterns.
Okay.
It used to be said that knowledge is power. You know, that was said in like the 15th century when we thought the world was flat. Like, it's a different world. In today's world, more awareness or consciousness is power.
Okay.
So what you start by doing is get to know your patterns around fear. Like, do I tend to avoid fear? In which case, you won't start the new business. Do I tend to enjoy fear? Do I tend to repress the fear so that I can do it and feel fearless?
Right.
So that leads to aha moments.
Okay.
Like, you know, maybe if you realize that the only way that you can do this is if you get rid of the fear, you can realize I've been denying fear its rightful place in my life, in this experience. I mean, it's scary to launch a business, right?
It's terrifying. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then step 3 would be, okay, ask how can I have a healthier relationship with fear, such that it can become an asset and an ally to me instead of a hindrance that holds me back covertly from the basement.
Right.
One of the best things that you can do to turn it into an asset and ally is to change your language around fear. Like, if you say, oh, I don't want to, you know, do this thing because it's so scary. I don't want to make this cold call because it's so scary. You know, say I would be willing to feel fear in this moment. You know, I'm choosing to feel fear because I know that fear is going to expand me and help make my business successful. I'm going to do the scary thing.
Okay.
I'm going to make the phone call. I'm
reframe
going to
launch it.
Business.
Right.
Yeah. Reframe it.
Reframe it. And I get it. And think about right. how it's going to, that's very right. Of course. And think about how tolerating that uncomfortability will pay off in the long run. It's kind of like the way I talk about working out, where I'm like, yeah, in the moment, this sucks. It hurts. It's not fun. You feel nauseous. You feel like you're gargling your heart. But think about, you know, how it's going to pay off with regard to feeling more comfortable in your skin, fitting into those skinny jeans, you know, walking your daughter down the aisle. And so I get it. You're attaching a very positive outcome to the fear to a certain extent. Yeah.
Right. It's the same thing. Like, if you're working out and it's painful, it's difficult. If you say, I don't want to feel this pain, I don't want it to be so difficult, I don't want to have the experience I'm having,
right.
you know, feel the energy of that versus I do want this pain. I do want this difficult experience. It changes things dramatically.
The book is fantastic, and it's something that we can all identify with. It's something we all go through. It has a universal theme, and who better to share these techniques and this differing perspective than you. The book is called Why Conquering Fear Won't Work and What to Do Instead. The Art of Fear by Kristen Ulmer. Don't forget to email us your questions. We want to talk to you at JillianPodcast@gmail.com.
Guidelines.
Guidelines.
Yes.
3 sentences.
Or less.
Or less. And a phone number.
And a phone number.
Yeah. Bye-bye.